Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Conventional Vermont dairy farmers were finally starting to have a chance to breathe a little bit a while back as milk prices were high enough to cover the cost of production and maybe allow for some capital investments on the farm. That is until coronavirus hit. Here's Senate Agricultural Committee Chair Bobby Starr speaking yesterday on a conference call of the full state Senate about what the coronavirus has meant for the price of milk.
The price has dropped down to like $15 and 80 cents a hundredweight, which is, you know, $5, $6, $7 lower than it costs to produce it.
There are reports around the country of farmers and processors dumping milk, and it's unclear what's going to happen going forward. We're going to look at some of the issues facing Vermont's dairy industry this hour, including working conditions for farm workers. Anson Tebbets is the secretary of Vermont's Agency of Agriculture, Food, and Markets, and he's with us for the hour today. Secretary Tebbets, it's nice to talk with you.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much for allowing me to spend some time with you.
Well, we're eager to hear more. And, you know, we heard Senator Starr talking there about the price of milk. He said $15.80 per hundredweight, but we've been hearing reports of lower than that. What can you tell us about the price, the milk price?
I think those are accurate forecasts. The outlook is not great. Initially, there was some activity where there was a lot of processing that was happening, mainly as people went to their supermarkets and started buying dairy. But that has changed dramatically over the last week to 10 days. And there is a dumping going on across the nation, including Vermont, where there is just not a place to market that dairy at this time.
What exactly is being dumped? Because it's not all milk and, you know, it's not all producers and not all farmers.
Yeah, for the most part, it's raw product and it's milk. There are a number of cheesemakers that are at risk in Vermont as well. As we all know, we have a wonderful artisan cheese industry in Vermont. A number of those are at risk at this point. Keep in mind, pretty much all of the markets that they had dried up overnight. The shutdown of the schools, restaurants, coffee shops. Cheesemakers and the milk processors were left with no market, and that happened pretty much overnight, and those markets are still closed as we speak today.
Yeah, and we're going to speak with a cheesemaker later, but we're hearing some of them, you know, drying off their animals earlier than expected or trying to find other ways to try to cut costs right now because they're not being able to actually market and produce and then sell their cheese and other products. And certainly, you know, in the dairy industry, we're you know, it's margins are awfully tight. It's a hard thing to have a sudden fallout of the bottom. You know, I just can't imagine what farmers are feeling right now watching these milk prices and trying to figure out what is next. What are you telling them?
Well, we have we've put together a team at the Agency of Agriculture to talk about, you know, economic recovery, both getting through these next few days and next few weeks, and but also long term. We are asking USDA to take a few steps immediately to help stabilize the industry in Vermont. And one of those would be to buy up all the cheese that's available that's in inventory. We've got two things that are happening here. There's a tremendous need now because of the high unemployment that's occurring across the country. Some food banks and people watching and trying to feed people across the country have said the need right now is a $1.4 billion worth of need out there right away. So farmers can help with that because they process wonderful dairy products that are nutritious. They could help supply food banks, the food pantries and shelters. And they also could get rid of some of the supply that's out there, which would stabilize the price for dairy producers. So USDA does have the authority to do that. We've asked Secretary Sonny Perdue to do that. We hope that he'll take action. Other states as well are asking him to take this action. And I think that would also help our dairy farmers immediately. Another action that we're asking the Secretary to implement over the next 4 months, April, May, June, and July, is establish a minimum price of at least $19.50. That would be basically the cost of production in the East for our farmers. That would settle things down, keep farmers in business, and maybe these markets would return over time, and we would not be faced with dumping milk and so forth. So that's a couple of things that we've asked them to do. We're really proud of our dairy farmers, of what they're doing. This is heartbreaking for them. There's a spill effect for this. If dairies are to close, they support a number of industries in Vermont, from the grain dealers to fertilizer, to the mom and pop shores, the small towns. They also provide a tremendous benefit to our tourism industry, and our visitors come to Vermont because of its beauty, and our farmers are, for the most part, responsible for that beauty in many sections of Vermont. So there's a lot at stake here if we don't stabilize the dairy industry in Vermont and the region. We have support from New Hampshire, also from Massachusetts, also Connecticut and Rhode Island. And I know New York and Pennsylvania are going to send their own letters asking the U.S. Secretary to take emergency actions.
We got a note from Zeb who says, so people stopped drinking milk because they're home more? You know, I think Zeb is confused about why some farmers are saying they're experiencing a lack of demand because, you know, certainly restaurants and schools are closed. And so maybe bulk dairy isn't going out and being shipped as much. But if people are home more and cooking more, that wouldn't necessarily mean that the demand is down. It's the same number of people. So where actually is the pinch point here, Secretary Tebbets?
The pinch point is with the institutions, the colleges, education, our schools are primarily closed, our coffee shops are closed, our restaurants are closed. And keep in mind, Vermont exports a tremendous amount of milk to those markets. So those were closed overnight. And the consumers, the homeowners can't possibly make up for what was happening on the commercial side with those. And also there's been some issues with international trade as well. Before this all happened, we had about 15-17% of all dairy in the United States was exported to other countries, and there's been some disruption of that. So that milk hasn't, and dairy hasn't been able to get to those spots. So it's been a twofold there. And there's been a slight uptick, actually, in consumers going out and buying dairy and cheese, and that's going to have to continue to sort of mitigate this through the process. But it's on the commercial side, not necessarily on the homeowner or the person that's having some milk in their coffee for breakfast or on their cereal.
Yeah, but explain that to me. If the same number of people are eating the same amount of food and want the same amount of dairy in their meals, I can understand that maybe the demand is different. And so if you're producing in bulk and you're not able to ship that to a college or to a restaurant, that may affect the processors and how they're able to do it. But why is the demand down if the same number of people are eating the same amount of food?
Well, I don't think they are eating the same amount of food. So if you take dairy out of the colleges, so they're not, those college kids that are home with their parents now are not going to make up that, are not going to make that up.
So they're actually consuming less dairy because they're home with their parents than they might if they were on campus, you know, getting the chocolate milk from the.
Yeah, they could be. Or also, you know, in the restaurant industry, if you're baking something, so they're not buying dairy to make their, you know, their recipes. And when you're dining out, because pretty much, I think on the East Coast, every restaurant is certainly close to being shut down, and they are doing some curbside deliveries, but that's limited. So I think it's the main institutions that can't be made up on the home side of this.
Danielle writes in on what we've just been talking about, saying it's interesting because as a wholesale food distribution company that sells the perimeter of retailers, milk has been selling like crazy. I think it is the lack of the food service institutional and restaurant business that's creating the surplus and waste. And let's actually talk about what's happening on the producer's side. Leon Berthium oversees the operations of the store and processing at DFA Vermont's operation in St. Albans. This, you may remember, used to be known as the St. Albans Cooperative Creamery. And Leon is the senior advisor of operations there. Leon, nice to talk with you.
And good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you this afternoon.
We just heard Secretary Tebbets telling us a little bit about the milk dumping that we've been hearing about. Is that something that you've been experiencing and noticing as well?
Yes, it's an ever-changing situation, you know, for the last number of weeks as we're trying to, again, really understand these unprecedented marketing conditions. So with this situation, you know, we've seen initially demand, as Secretary Tebbit said, at grocery stores as consumers stocked up on many products like dairy in anticipation of shelter-in-place orders. But, you know, since then, you know, the retail demand has now dropped a bit. For this, you know, reason, we anticipate that milk will certainly be more readily available at the grocery stores in the coming weeks. But we've also, again, have seen the food service sales have rapidly declined due to schools and restaurants closing, which has resulted in an overall surplus of milk. So that has really forced some dairy manufacturers to cut or change their production schedules, or in some cases build inventories to a certain level as far as they believe that they can build. But again, resulting that in excess milk, you know, is coming back to our facilities and other facilities that can try to put as much product into storable goods such as non-fat dry milk powder. But these plants are operating at capacity. And so when there is no more capacity, again, we are in a position that we're resulting in disposing of raw milk on farms. And that's usually our last resort.
And when there's dumping, you know, in on farms you're dumping raw milk, we've heard about processors dumping different things, so skimming the cream and then dumping the skim milk. Is that happening?
We, again, when there is an opportunity to, again, salvage any portion of the milk, that would certainly be our first choice. But we're also running into some of the other market segments are saturated with, you know, bulk cream and bulk skim condensed and other, you know, forms of bulk product that, again, even by salvaging, we may not have markets for that product as well. So, again, we evaluate that on a day-by-day basis, but there could be other products that processing plants might dispose of because there isn't a market for that product.
Do you anticipate processing plants having to lay off workers, do take other measures to try to, you know, staunch the bleeding?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is we've already have seen, you know, a reduction in some facilities because of their product mix and don't need as many employees because they're not, you know, supporting maybe, the food service business to the same degree. So we have seen some reduction there. We've also seen some plants that have had to, again, have a periodic shutdown because of COVID-19, which has really interrupted the supply chain, you know, as well. So those are some of the things that are also impacting, you know, the volume of milk on a given week.
While we have you here, Leon, let's go to Heather, who's calling in from St. Albans. Hi, Heather. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm the daughter of a dairy farm, and I grew up in dairy and was immersed in that. And is this Leon still on the line?
Yes. Yep.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so I have a question. You know, when Secretary Tebbit was talking about how we keep intact our e-commerce and our agritourism and all of those efforts that we've worked so hard in the state to build and to foster to keep our agricultural community and economy booming, it troubles me to hear that there is milk dumping happening around the state and around the region, potentially. I heard that it was happening. And to hear Secretary Tebbit confirm that was troubling. We have milk that's being sent out to schools through bus routes, and there was a point in time where that was difficult to fulfill all of those lunch boxes and filling those coolers and making sure that students had what they needed. And I think this is an opportune time, really, to promote dairy and to say, look, all of you college kids that are home, all of you families that are home, social distancing and staying at home, this is a time to support our agricultural community and to buy milk, because if they know the fallout of what could happen with not purchasing that product, I think people would say, you know what, this is our time to help out and make sure that our agricultural community stays intact.
Well, Heather, thanks for your call. And you know, you have experience with this yourself, as you said, that the child of a dairy farmer. Secretary Tebbit, I mean, I don't think you'd disagree with anything Heather said.
Those are great suggestions, and now is the time where everyone's got to reach really deep down and rally around this. Whatever you can do, if you can go online to purchase from our cheesemakers, if you can afford to go in and buy some milk, maybe you can buy some milk and donate it to a food bank. Now's the time everyone's going to have to reach really deep down and rally here, because a lot of this stuff is out of everyone's control, but we've got to get it back in control and do every little bit we can to support our dairy farmers and all the industries that support that.
We got a note from Loretta in Lindenville who says, considering there are over 70 million displaced refugees in the world, could milk be turned into powdered milk for a high-protein, shelf-stable product? Leon, can you talk about either the difficulties or the ways that producers are trying to sort of change up their model real fast to be able to do something like that? Because you talked about the different ways that you can turn, you know, milk when there's a lower demand into other products. But, you know, Loretta's saying, could we shift really quickly to do a lot more powdered milk, for example?
Correct. So again, that's a very good question. I think, you know, first I want to assure everyone that we are trying to get the best value for the milk that our dairy farmers are producing each and every day. We are working with the industry at large to find ways to incent national dairy demand, and certainly working with the retail side to make sure that they're ordering, you know, again, what they can possibly have, you know, for the grocery stores and outlets, you know, for our consumers. You know, we are looking at all of our customers and communicating with our customers to also see what capacity do they have to turn, you know, milk into, you know, other forms of dairy products. But what I would tell you that right now, all of us, I think, within the industry that have processing plants that can make storable goods are trying to process as much milk as we can with our locations. In St. Albans, we do produce non-fat dry milk powder. So we are maximizing to the extent that we can our dryer operation to produce non-fat dry milk powder, because it does, again, lend itself for storage as well as for exports. But also, as Secretary Tebbets has said, I mean, this is a global situation that we're dealing with, and other industries across the globe are also having, you know, similar challenges. But again, we have seen a reduction in the overall exports of product here from the U.S. But again, it has not stopped us from trying to put up as much product as we can, such as a non-fat dry milk powder. And that's why our plants are all running virtually at capacity. And that's why we're still having the need to dispose of milk here at home.
That's Leon Berthume, Senior Advisor of DFA Vermont Operations. He oversees the operations of the store and processing at the facility in St. Albans, which was known as the St. Albans Cooperative Creamery until it merged with DFA in August. Leon, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with Vermont's Agriculture Secretary, Anson Tebbets. Let's go to Brenda, who's calling in from Essex. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane. I just called in because you were wondering at how it could be possible that the commercial accounts being shut off could have such an effect. Until December, I owned Uncommon Grounds Coffee and Tea in Burlington, and we would pay Monument Farms between $400 and $500 a week for milk, and half and half. And in busy seasons, it would be even more than that. And I think that's an incredible amount for them. You know, I'm not the only, that was not the only coffee shop. There's lots of coffee shops that are now closed.
Yeah.
So I think that's a tremendous burden for them to make up.
Yeah, thanks for that, Brenda. Thanks for that perspective and for sharing, you know, coffee shops. Certainly, people may be drinking just as much coffee, but probably fewer lattes, a little bit less milk in their coffee than perhaps they had before. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Let's go to Michael as well, who's calling in from East Reigate. Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael. Hello? I hear you.
Hey. Okay. I'm a small dairy farmer, and we own a creamery. We have been trying to apply for the EDIL loans. Come to find out that farms are not available for these loans. I was wondering what the state of Vermont is doing to encourage the federal government to add farms to these loans.
Michael, thanks for the call, and sorry to hear about the position you're in. What do you think, Secretary Tebbets?
Yes, there is I think there's a little bit of disagreement in Washington about who was eligible and not eligible for that program. My understanding is Congress believe that farmers were supposed to be eligible for that program. And I think there's some pressure that's being put on from Vermont and other states and all of people in Washington and mainly our congressional delegation of trying to work through that. So hopefully over time, that program is going to open up. It's my understanding through the SBA, the Payroll Protection Program, is farmers are eligible for that program. But the other half of that program that's been rolled out, we haven't gotten clarity on that. But I know there's a big push to try to get farmers eligible for that other half of the SBA program.
Michael, I'm curious, you know, how long can you float without a loan, do you think?
A couple months.
So what are you doing right now? How are you feeling?
Let down by the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael, I hear the emotion in your voice. Secretary Tebbets, you know, this is, dairy farmers have felt so much strain for so many years, and right now, with so many people in such a precarious position, it's scary, and it's scary for a lot of dairy farmers. We also know that depression and mental illness, suicide rates for farmers are high. You know, how can you help? Secretary Tebbets?
Everything we possibly can to... Yeah, you still there?
Yep, we got you.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. I come and go here. Sorry for that. Yes, it's heartbreaking, and we are doing everything we can to get as much money back to the farm as we possibly can. And it's a real crisis. It's a real emergency. We have about 650 dairy farmers, and I would have to say that if the forecasts are true on this, just about every one of them is at risk. The cost of production in Vermont, at best, depending on the operation, is about $19 or $20 per hundredweight. And some of the forecasts are, you know, $5, $6 below that. They can't sustain that. And so we've got to do everything we can to get these relief programs up and running as quickly as possible so they can sustain this crisis over the next few months. And we're not going to stop until we work on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult. And certainly I, even over the years of trying to understand it, don't totally understand milk pricing and how this whole Byzantine system works. But, you know, it's not, the dairy industry is so tied into government policy, both federal policy and then regional policies, that, you know, farmers can't really extricate themselves from the process and from how they're involved with the government, even if they wanted to. And it just makes it so difficult in situations like these where you hear Michael who's saying, you know, he's really reliant on government help because the industry is so tied into policy. It just seems, you know, intractable in some ways.
It is, and it has to be done on a federal system. And just to, you know, the general audience out there, farmers do not know what they're going to get paid under this system until a month after they deliver the product, which, you know, most industries, most people don't get up in the morning going to work not knowing what they're going to get paid. And that's just the way the system is. No one has been able to fix it. At times we've had programs that have addressed some parts of it and gotten better. But over time, it hasn't happened. Also keep in mind, I think FSA, which is the government loan program, I think they are going to start addressing some issues. So farmers that are listening should contact their regional office. They are in the process, I think, hopefully going to be rolling out some programs over the next, a couple of weeks. So people should keep their eye also on FSA and the Farm Service Agency and also contact us directly if you're having issues. We want to have as much personal help as we can. If people are need help of any assistance, we try to get you steered in the right direction if we can.
Let's go to Rick, who's calling in from South Burlington. Rick, hi. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hi. I just wanted to point out that while, as Anson says, it's very important to tide the dairy farmers over during this period, that whole approach doesn't solve the bigger problem that is driving more and more dairy farmers out. There is an alternative to that. We don't have to create more inequality in the country. And some other countries do it very differently, Canada being amongst them. Our present system basically says it encourages overproduction, and that in turn means that the most efficient producers will do better, and that drives out an incredible number of smaller farms, and that trend will continue under our present system. the alternative is that you limit the supply instead of encouraging demand, or rather production, and you keep more people employed. You have more stability in your social system. Economists, classic economists, argue that's inefficient, but we're now seeing the flip side of that in all kinds of ways. There is a value to social stability and having people be able to do a decent day's work and earn a living wage.
Well, Rick, thanks for your perspective. Appreciate hearing that. And we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk certainly about the wages for farm workers as we continue here. Let's go to another guest here. Paul Doten operates a fourth-generation dairy farm in Barnard. He's also a member of the AgriMark Board of Directors and represents a region with 41 farms in Vermont and New Hampshire along the Connecticut River from Brookfield, Vermont to Charleston, New Hampshire. And he's with us now. Hi, Paul. Nice to talk with you.
Good afternoon.
So tell us a little bit about your farm. You milk about 70?
Correct.
And what's going on with you right now?
Well, I think it's more than fear and anxiety of what might be coming. I mean, the average farmer right now has not been really affected by this because the milk check that came or is going to come this week is still almost $18.
And that's because of the delay that we were hearing from Secretary Tebbets, yeah.
Secretary, I've been listening to the first part of your show, and I'm going to repeat some of the stuff. I'm trying to skip over some of the stuff, but I agree with what Secretary Tebbets has said. And the cows certainly are not affected by this. They're still being well cared for. They're eating. They're being milked. And they haven't got concerned yet. The problem is going to be coming when we have cull cows. And that market has not evaporated, but it's gone down greatly because of plant closings, slaughterhouse plant closings.
Mm-hmm.
And on the export side, the Mexican currency has lost its value. So the powder is getting built up.
Yeah.
And I will say that everybody is hurting.
Hey, Paul, I want to ask you a question because it struck me when you said it. And I don't know if you meant it this way, but you said the cows haven't started worrying yet. Do you think that your herd will notice that something is amiss at some point? I mean, do you sense that sort of feeling within your cows?
If we have to cull a lot of them, maybe it will have some effect. I'm not a cow psychologist, but you know, like I guess I was not meaning it correctly, but they have not, and we have not changed our operations. You know, we still, like I said, care for them, feed them, milk them, and keep them in the same routine as before.
Yeah.
And if that's being efficient, I guess that's a problem that we have on our farm.
You're also a member of the AgriMark Board of Directors, and what are you hearing from other farms and farmers that you work with and talk with?
Well, that everyone is hurting, and finally dairy is maybe being recognized as the source of the food security system, because there's certainly plenty of dairy product available. At our cheese plant and up in Cabot, the cut and wrap operation is running 24/7 to get enough product packaged to get to the retail. As Secretary Tebbets has mentioned, and Leon Berthume, the retail is doing great, but food service and exports are just not doing what they can. It's I don't think people understand what there was not a large percentage of the milk is consumed in schools and colleges, but it's an important amount, and it just isn't going there anymore.
Paul, you heard Michael on the line a few minutes ago saying, you know, he feels let down by the government, and you could sort of empathize with that sort of squeezed chest feeling that I imagine he might have. You know, how do you talk to people about how to not just... You said it's scary. How to not get too down right now?
Well, I always say dairy farmers are eternal optimists. It's going to be better next year. And that's coming to an end almost after 4 years of this down product, you know, down prices. Somehow we're going to have to come out on the other side in a better shape than we are now.
You said you feel like that optimism is coming to an end. Do you still think you can come out on the other side?
Well, I'm an eternal optimist. The product mix that we have in the Northeast, especially Vermont, the population is on the East Coast, and we have a very good market. And it's just a question of, are those people who were in the cities before that went to the deli or wherever every night for their food instead of going to the grocery store and picking up stuff to cook for themselves, is that going to be a shift that's going to happen in the future? If it is, maybe that'll be good for dairy products, especially cheese.
What do you think, Secretary Tebbets? I mean, could we, it's a quick shift, but we're still sort of figuring out what the next couple of months at least is going to look like. Do you think there's some hope there?
Yes, and but there's, you know, we can't sugarcoat how serious the situation is over the next couple of months. It's correct that the farmer, because they're a 30-day lag behind when they're going to get paid for their product. So, you know, their next milk check may be okay. It's the one after that that we're really concerned about. These markets may open up. The world is going to open up again at some point. It's going to probably be a slow open, and, you know, who goes first, who goes second, so forth. But I think people of the positive thing, if there's anything positive about this, and there are very few positives in this whole thing, people have discovered agriculture is really important to their lives now. If you see if you go to a supermarket, you go to a farm stand, you have our CSAs in Vermont, and we've done a great job, and farmers have done a great job of delivering a product. But it's so fragile right now because, you know, our model was we had to get our product to the cities where there was, in some aspects, a little bit extra money they could spend on some of our products. We built a strong brand on that. And that's all kind of at risk now. All the things that we had planned on that were working. And the caller earlier was talking about, he was talking about a supply management system. The Vermont Milk Commission, which Paul Doten, who's on the line with us, is a member of that. We've been advocating for a growth management plan for a couple of years, but it has to be done on the federal system. We're going to keep pushing that. And maybe 6 months from now or maybe a year from now, maybe the people in Washington and across the country will say, hey, look, we need to have a better long-term system for sustainability of our farmers. And maybe that's down the road. But we got to get through the next couple of months before we can start talking about that.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont's Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets is with us today talking about the state of Vermont's dairy industry and answering your questions. We're also talking with dairy farmer Paul Doten, who owns Doten Farm in Barnard. So we're getting some calls and questions from people. And Secretary Tebbets, I want to address this one to you from Tim, who says, how will the Vermont dairy farmers who are not U.S. citizens be able to stay safe and access essential resources during COVID-19? These folks can't get help from the federal government, but we're all in this together. So how are Vermont organizations stepping up? And I think Tim is referring specifically to undocumented workers, not necessarily non-U.S. citizens who have green cards or other kinds of visas that would allow them to be working here and allow them to have access to some government help. So, Secretary Tebbets, what about undocumented workers?
We've had discussions throughout the agriculture community, and they deal with this regardless of this particular situation we're in now. Every dairy farmer is in full mode now to protect their workers from getting sick, their families, their workers, everyone. I know UVM Extension has also been reaching out and making sure that protections are there, that we're using best practices on farms, that, you know, we're limiting contact between employee, just like we are at maybe in a cheese plant and so forth. All those best practices are happening. There are areas for if they need health care, there are avenues to get health care. Vermonters will step up and help people in need, and I know that's happening. I know our farmers rely on so many people to keep their operations going, and I know their heart and soul is in this to protect every single farmer and worker on their land to make sure that they're safe and they're healthy.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that it's really up to the farm owner or the farm manager to protect the workers. It's not something the state is necessarily taking the lead on, which, you know, I think you're right. Most, if not all, farmers have the best interests of their workers at heart. But that's quite a guarantee to put into the hands of, you know, the farm owners, not necessarily something that other people are going to be able to be seeing or checking up on.
Yes, and if something was to go wrong or something to go sideways, I would hope someone would reach out to officials and address that issue.
But that seems unrealistic if you're an undocumented worker who's worried about losing your status, losing your ability to even be here. The idea that you would reach out if something seems amiss on your farm doesn't seem likely.
All I can say is I know that a lot of folks are really focused on making sure to secure and make sure everyone is safe and healthy. And every industry, of course, is going to have little pockets that may be not the best. And that would be every industry that is out there. There could be pockets that maybe are the best practices that are being followed. But I know Vermonters are doing their best to mitigate this situation and this pandemic. And I know that there are people out there that are willing to help and are helping. And if there's some problem, people need to bring it forward to authorities to deal with it.
What about protections for, you know, farm workers are considered essential workers, but they're advised to still follow social distancing protocol and others. Many of them, though, live in group housing situations or, you know, aren't able necessarily to operate in a way that follows that social distancing guideline. Are there any protections in place for dairy farm workers?
I'm not familiar with every situation that's on every farm, but I know that from discussions that have been circulating throughout the dairy industry, they're trying to use the best practices possible to protect their workers and try to do the best job they possibly can to protect their safety and their health.
Paul Doughton, what do you hear in terms of, you know, what farmers are trying to operate with to protect their workers and farms that maybe have undocumented workers, how they're trying to make sure that their farm workers are getting paid, that they're able to have stable housing? They're not going to see necessarily these relief checks from the federal government. I mean, they won't. So, you know, what are you hearing from fellow farmers about how they're trying to make sure that their farm workers, undocumented or not, are staying safe and healthy?
Well, regardless of what situation we might be in, that workforce is the most important part on the farm next to the cattle. And it's important to make sure that they're made kept safe and hopefully kept healthy. So it's that way all the time, not just during this situation.
We got a note from Marie with Blue Spruce Farm in Bridport who says, we're doing everything we can to fill retail demand. Yes, we lost our food service outlets and we're moving as fast as we can to get our products to fill retail demand. Our cut and wrap plant in Cabot is running 24/7. We are hiring and folks in other departments are helping by filling shifts. Special attention is being focused on keeping our employees healthy at every plant. It takes a village from farmers, truckers, plant workers, retail works, and consumers. Plentiful, safe, affordable food should not be taken for granted. Let's talk with another manufacturer here of what are often called value-added products. Matteo Keeler is the head cheesemaker and co-founder of Jasper Hill Farm, an artisan cheesemaker in Greensboro. Hi, Matteo. Nice to talk with you again.
How are you?
I'm well. So what's happening at Jasper Hill in terms of how you're changing operations right now and what you're seeing?
Well, we, like most farmstead and artisan cheesemakers across the country, lost a significant part of our market overnight when restaurants closed. About 35% of our sales were going to into the food service sector. And a lot of our customers are really, you know, suffering. Cut-to-order cheese shops are having to, like, try and figure out how to do, like, curbside delivery. We've seen about a 50% drop in our baseline sales over the past 3 weeks or so. And it's the same story. Suddenly, we've got too much milk on our hands. And yesterday morning was the last time our herd here at Jasper Hill Farm was milk. We've dispersed our herd to neighbors and to Andersonville Farm, another farm that we manage in Glover, in order to try and shrink the amount of milk that we're producing, mostly because we don't sell milk. We sell cheese, and when we see a drop in demand, you know, we've got to make less milk. We're also diverting milk into harder cheeses, Alpha Tolman. You know, hard cheese is like a piggy bank. We're putting it up, building inventory, and hopefully we'll be able to sell that when things get back to normal. But it's been really, really challenging.
Yeah, Matteo, and when you, I mean, given the lag time in terms of, you know, you're producing cheese that will be sold months or maybe several months later, so you're trying to gauge what it's going to be like 3 or 4 or 6 months down the road or 3 weeks from now, you know, that's such a tricky thing to gauge. But, you know, you already feel like you have to cut production, you have to slow the amount of milk that you're producing because there's just not going to be that demand when the cheese is ripe.
Exactly. And we also, you know, we're going to survive this if we're able to manage our cash flow. And when you have substantially less cash coming in week to week, you know, you have to make some like really hard decisions. I think the biggest challenge for us is we don't know how long this is going to last. And, you know, we're very close to the market, meaning that when, you know, when retail sneezes, you know, we're going to catch a cold, or when the restaurant industry has a downturn, you know, that's tough for us. The flip side of that is when retail or when food service comes back, we're, you know, we artisan cheesemakers will be able to bounce back with them. The thing that I'm most concerned about is that we're going to lose so many customers, so many small businesses, restaurants, and retailers are going to go under over the course of the next few weeks or months, that our market is going to be significantly changed. So we're pretty concerned for our customers and for the food system as a whole. You know, Vermont is this incredible like network of you know, small producers that have built this incredible community of production, and I don't think that we can take that for granted. It isn't necessarily going to survive if consumers don't really reach out to divert their dollars to support producers in Vermont. It's going to be it's tenuous.
Well, boy, I hope for the best for you and everybody else we've been speaking with today. Mateo Keeler is the head cheesemaker and co-founder of Jasper Hill Farm, an artisan cheesemaker in Greensboro. Mateo, good luck.
Thank you.
Anson Tebbets, you know, Mateo's talking there about supporting local producers, and many Vermonters are also suffering with their own job losses, not necessarily related to agricultural industry jobs, but, you know, are trying to figure out how to stretch their money while also supporting local producers. And that's hard to do. You know, there are local restaurants, there are local food producers, there are local farms, there are local grocery stores. What do you want customers to be thinking about as we try to make choices with our limited money to try to support the agricultural workers in our state?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's no one that it has not been touched by this pandemic. So it's going to go up and down just about every single Vermonter and everyone in the region. So people, they've got to make, you know, people have got to make choices, and they're going to have to, you know, take care of their family and their friends and their animals and their workers. And people are just going to have to evaluate what they can do and not do. Of course, it would be wonderful if folks can, you know, reach deep down in there and go and support their local farmer at this point. Go online, order something, buy a gift certificate. And so many people are doing wonderful things. We got to thank our healthcare people. We got to thank our truck drivers, our people in the grocery stores that are still out there working, and our meat plants providing us protein. And we have an abundance of food. It's just a matter of getting it there to folks under this sort of emergency situation. But Vermonters should be proud that everyone is working hard and staying safe and staying at home. It's working. We're not out of the woods yet, but what we're all doing and what we're all sacrificing, and that's what people are doing. People are sacrificing, and that's what they're stepping up to do that. And we just got to get through, you know, day by day, one foot in front of the other, and people are doing that. People are rallying, and along the way, hopefully there'll be a brighter light for everybody. But I know our heart and soul is at it, and I know Vermont's farmers are their heart and soul is in what they do every single day, and I know the public is behind them as well. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about this issue. It's so important.
That is Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets. Thanks very much, Secretary Tebbets. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Paul Doten, what about for you? What do you want people to know and be thinking about? And, you know, as we think about your situation and the situation for other dairy workers and dairy farmers, what do you want people to be understanding? Well, we lost Paul Doten there right before the end, but Paul Doten operates.
Try that. We got you back.
Go right ahead. A couple of seconds.
The farmers need money as soon as possible. And if they're going to purchase product, if government's going to purchase product, it can't be stored in a warehouse. It needs to be put out. into the food banks or wherever it needs to go, but it can't just sit there.
Yeah, well, Paul Doughton, as I said to Mateo Keeler, I wish the best for you and wish you luck in these very challenging coming few weeks ahead and months. Thank you for talking with us.
Okay.
Paul Doughton operates Doughton Farm, LLC, a fourth-generation dairy farm in Barnard. Paul is also a member of the AgriMark Board of Directors, representing 41 farms in Vermont and New Hampshire along the Connecticut River. And I also want to say thank you to our listeners for putting up with. Every now and then we have these occasional glitches because, of course, nobody's in the studio together anymore. So we're all trying to figure out ways to communicate without being in the same place. So we're trying various apps, and most of the time they work well. Occasionally we have these glitches. So thank you for sticking with us. And if you want to share what's happening on your farm, we'd still love to hear it. You can post a note on today's show page. Go to vpr.org and click on Vermont Edition, or let us know what you think we're not talking about in ag or any other subject, and we would like to be able to cover it for you.